in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You.
This story is one of the more bizarre stories that we, the collective, the four of us, have experienced, in my opinion. And look, Chewy's got some weird stuff, right? The bar is set pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's got a Viagra ring.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And to me, for me, this story that Joshy shared with us is even more weird, even more bizarre, even more bonkers than the stuff that Chewy tells us. So, Joshy, I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to give you the stage, give you the mic. Tell us what is going on in your world.
Yeah. Early last week, we had a notification of a delivery being made to our house. We went outside, looked for the package, realized there is no package here. Go to the information, you know, when you get stuff via delivered via UPS, FedEx, they oftentimes provide a picture. We realized the picture was in our house. Okay, that happens. Not uncommon, especially in the city of Milwaukee, to have things delivered to the wrong house by accident. We were able to, through deductive reasoning, figure out that they had delivered our package to the same exact address that we have, the numbers, but just one street shy of us. So everything on the address is the same except for the name of the street. By the time we got over there, mind you, within the hour, the package was no longer on the front stoop. The package had been brought into the house. And my initial thought was, I've brought in my neighbor's packages before on accident. Something's on my porch. I'm busy. I got the dog.
You just reach down, you pick it up.
Right. I pick it up, bring it in. And then when I look at it a couple hours later, I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so's down the street. I'll just go take it there and no harm, no foul. So in lieu of doing that, because you know how it is when you have to go through, my package was misdelivered, I need to get a refund, there needs to be an investigation, all that. We decided to go to this person's house, ring the doorbell, and leave a very nice note. Nothing accusatory. Just said, hey, seems like UPS might have accidentally left our package on your door. It makes sense because our addresses are virtually the same exact thing. If you have it, because we didn't want to be accusatory of like, oh, you're taking something. If you have it or if it made it inside, feel free to give us a call and we'll come pick it up. This is our address. Here's how to contact us.
Should you want to just walk it around the block and drop it on our porch?
Right. But we also wanted to remove any work by them because it's not their fault. It is UPS's fault that they misdelivered the package. It's not crazy to see how it happened, but it's not on them. I'll happily walk down there, pick it up. It's 3 minutes worth of walking.
All right, pause. Gentlemen, has there been anything awry or amiss in the story thus far? Has Joshy done what he should have done in order to reobtain or to obtain the package that was misdelivered?
I wouldn't have gone over. I would have made UPS or Amazon, whoever it was, deliver me another one and say, don't screw up the address. I'm not going to meet neighbors. Haven't met him yet in 23 years.
That's not true.
No, it is true.
You drink with your neighbor every Thursday.
Well,
he's special.
Different.
So he's to be different. Clear, we did reach out to UPS, but we know it was a package valued $50 to $70. It was some sandals. Nothing incredible, and we had already reached out to UPS, but knowing what an inconvenience the bureaucracy system is and how long it takes
and the
investigation, it's like, I would rather just get this done because it's a neighbor. They know where we live. They've probably seen us.
I got to be honest, Joshy. I think you did path of least resistance.
Yes.
I think this was, yes, we could file a report and, you know, all of the things and hopefully get our money refunded in 7 to 10 business days or whatever it ends up being, and then reorder the sandals and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or I could walk around the block and say, hey, my package was accidentally delivered to your porch. We would like it back. We'll try to make it as easy as possible for you to return it. I think that you did everything right thus far.
Yes.
Have you received your package?
That'd be no. There's further details. So we left the note. Then we reached out to UPS. UPS attempted three separate times to make contact with the people, going so far as knocking on the doorbell. Mind you, it's 2025. What do most people have? Camera doorbells.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of the times were we allowed to leave messages, and UPS said the same thing. UPS also, on your door, you know, when you have a package you need to sign for, they'll put a stick it right on there.
Yeah.
So there have been four separate notes left on their door. None of them remain on the front door, and there has been zero contact to us or to UPS. So I'm left to assume those people decided I would rather keep these sandals, which are by no means like a big come up. If you try and resell them, you get like 30, 40 bucks.
You've already looked.
On Facebook, I haven't gone that far. On Facebook Marketplace, like it's not like a high in demand, rarer, like it's a pair of sandals. You could get them anywhere. And it's not that we are now broke without them or have we already got refunded for it. It's already like the process is already done. It was no harm, no foul. It happens. But the principle of the person deciding, yes, everyone knows we have this package, and UPS has tried to reach out, the people whose package it is has tried to reach out, we're just going to ignore all that, hope we never see them, and keep it for ourselves.
It sounds like the Clopex.
The what?
The Clopex?
You ever seen
The Burbs?
About?
You ever seen The Burbs?
No.
Oh, a long time ago.
With Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Great.
But
you're living
odd,
next
right?
to the Clopex.
The neighbors are odd, right?
There's like a wouldn't let him in, and they finally let him in. Some weird stuff going on. Sardine. Sardine. Have you seen The Burbs?
No idea.
Watch it tonight.
About.
You're living right now. I'll come over there now. Now I will come over there. Because I want to be Dern. You know the actress?
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern, her dad
is
in the movie. He's in a military guy. I want to be him.
What should Joshy do? Again, I think you guys have done everything by the book. You gave the neighbor the benefit of the doubt. Whoopsies, honest mistake. Let's just make it right. You reached out to UPS. They gave you guys your money back. But to your point, this affects the whole dynamic of the neighborhood, right? I go into every interaction with my neighbors giving them the benefit of the doubt, assuming that they are good people just like we are and that they're doing the best they can and all that stuff. Even the guys behind us who got the machinery going because they got the wedding going on. Like, it's an inconvenience. It's slightly annoying, but I still don't think that, like, you know, we're going to wage war over it. But now that house is the stealing house. That's the house that stole your package, at least for now. At least until they give an explanation for why we have gone on a week plus now.
Yes.
We're over a week of them not only getting the package that was not theirs. I mean, if the package shows up at my door and I didn't order it, I'm not going, oh, it's my lucky day.
Looky.
Look at the universe just delivering some good fortune to me, Gabe. Right. What should Joshy do?
I mean, you can't do anything now. Like, you're stuck. What can you do? There's nothing to do. You didn't get your package back. They decided to keep it. You got your refund. There's nothing you can do.
Have you ever seen them?
I do not know what they look like.
This is awesome. I'll go over there with you.
So the thing to me
what,
is...
you think it's ghosts?
They sort of broke the social contract of being neighborly, living in a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. We're living in a society.
Yeah, but
they're not.
What if they're from another country?
What if
they're from Croatia
okay, so
or something and don't
me,
speak and don't...
You tell me what country it's okay to steal your neighbor's package.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought it was a gift.
So there is a thing on the Milwaukee that you can do in Wisconsin, and via address, look up who the owners of the house are. So we know both the names that are attributed to this household. We're not sure if there's a potential they're renting it out. It doesn't strike me as that. It seems as if it is just two people, a couple, living there inside of the home. Clearly, they're there. The package and the notes continue to make it from outside of the house into the house. And I'm not somebody who typically tries to get back at someone. But the principle of... I would feel shame knowing that somebody in the neighborhood knows I took their stuff. And there's just nothing I'm going to do about it. I'm going to just keep it. I'm going to say, well, yes, both UPS and the neighbors know that we have their package, but what are they going to do about it? So I've been trying to come up with ways to try and do something back.
Legally.
Of course. We brought it up on Summerfest Saturday. I got sent a half a dozen to a dozen plus federal crimes. Not going to do those. We are not going to do anything that lands me in jail. And also, I don't want to specifically, like, harass them. But there are ways that I think would be logical of, you know, in neighborhoods you can put up signs. Because when you are on the other side of the sidewalk, that is typically the property of the city. What if I put up a sign up?
That says what?
These people steal.
Porch pirates.
The people at such and such address
will
steal your package.
I mean, you would have to put it, where would you put it?
Like on the corner.
Like in front of their house?
Yeah.
But they could just easily take that down.
Right.
And you know they're active and they're very good at taking things down because, well, they're taking the stickies off the door every day.
Well, guess what? I print off a dozen of them every time I walk by. Here it is. There it is.
Listen, I am enjoying this picture, this moving picture that is going on in my brain right now of Joshy with his pamphlets. And every time he walks past it, just sticks it up on the pole that's adjacent to the home. I am anti-harassment.
Correct.
I am pro-confrontation.
Uh-huh.
Hear me out. Can you just go and knock on the door and just be like,
yeah, he needs a uniform, though.
What kind of uniform?
I don't know. Like
the
Jehovah's Witness.
You think they're gonna
grab a Bible?
They haven't opened the door for the mailman and the UPS people who are trying to get there.
He is on to something.
You think they're gonna open the door for Jehovah's Witnesses?
That's fine. I still
That's what
think...
you got to do, Joshy. I think you got to, and I think you need to record it for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy purposes.
See, the thing is, though, they have the camera where they can see who's outside. If they see me come back 3, 4, 5 times, am I not then harassing somebody because I continue to knock on their door despite them not answering it? Like, if I go back every single day and knock on their door,
yes.
Is there not some form of harassment inside of that?
Go through their trash. Is. You can legally go through their trash. If it's on the curb, it's
fair
game.
What if it's in an alley?
I think that might be fair game. I would go through their trash.
What am I going to do with their trash?
Is dumpster diving? What are we doing? Just walk up to the door?
You need to know more about these people.
For what? What, so you can see what they ate for dinner last night?
He's like, here's the box that the sandals came in so that you know that they're actually wearing them. Do you need to be stalking the people to see them wearing the sandals that they clearly stole of yours? So you could be like,
what kind of car do they drive? See, this needs to be investigated deeper. And if you live closer to me, then I would help
there,
you out.
There's a garage in the back that there are no cars attributed to the house or that I could
this
logically.
This is getting good.
Chewy wants us to stake out.
You gotta watch the burbs.
Right.
For what?
Hire a PI?
Who cuts their grass?
I haven't spent enough time outside the house.
I'm honestly surprised it took us this long to ask that question.
It's a week. It's a week.
Yeah, binoculars.
I could acquire binocs if I needed them.
Do they live behind you? They're like a street over.
Yes. I walk past it weekly, like multiple times per week as I'm walking the dog.
Yeah.
It's very common for me to be walking past there.
What do the shrubs look like? Is it well kept or no?
Not well kept.
All right, they're not old.
No, they are old.
Remember, Joshy said he knows the name and the age. You know, if you put an address into the old Google machine, it'll pop up with a people search and tell you who
and
lives
the
there.
The tax history.
Yeah, but it might be. They might be renters. Like
that's what he said. He said there's a chance that there are renters.
We haven't seen the physical people to know whether or not it is them or not.
All right, I got a ton of people weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line, and they all have suggestions for Joshy on how he should handle the situation. UPS delivered a package that was Joshy's to a house on the street over. There have been communications, there have been contacts, there have been ways to say, oopsie poopsie, honest mistake, can we just get our package back? And to this point, the people have ignored all of them. And a week later, Josh just still does not have his package that UPS misdelivered. So we've got people weighing in saying, glitter bomb, glitter bomb, glitter bomb.
That has been brought up. Mussolini might have suggested something similar.
That from Colin in the 414, Mark Rober is the guy who has the viral videos and teaches you how to make a glitter bomb if you're interested.
We're
in
not
that.
There yet.
So,
Gabe,
my thought was initially, if you get one of these, either one of our homemade versions or not, and you open something and glitter ends up everywhere in your house, isn't the first person you look at and then seek retribution on the person who left their address and phone number on your front door?
Yes.
Well, I mean, just so you know, a lot of these suggestions are going to be that way. For instance, Matt says you should take a poop in a box and put it on their porch. Let's see. Make a sign that says a package stealer lives here. That from Chopper in the 414.
Right. So there's trees outside, and those trees, even though they're in front of their house, they're on the other side of the sidewalk. Am I not allowed to just go staple something to the tree at my leisure? Something like a sort of advertisement. Boom. These people are thieves.
I still think that is a part of their property.
The tree?
Yeah.
Is it? Is it between the sidewalk and the street? Because that's considered, I think, I don't know if, is that, well, you would know because of mowing, right?
Isn't there a thing where you're responsible for mowing?
It's way too premature for that.
You're responsible for that, but I do not believe that belongs to you.
What
I
are think you suggesting then?
If he's gotten too much, zero response, right? You got no response?
None.
UPS has no response?
They can't get anybody to say anything. To open the door to answer them.
There needs to be more investigation.
For what?
Maybe
for
they have dementia purpose? Or something like that. Who knows?
Listen, benefit of the doubt over here.
Right. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of reasons I could make up why they didn't do it, but eventually you answer your door or you find some, like they
not
can't.
Not necessarily.
Chewy, I know
no,
from experience.
Not necessarily.
Josh, when you walk your dog every day, let him place a present in their yard. That from Craig in the 443.
See, I'm anti that.
Are you anti people stealing your packages?
Correct. But I'm very anti leaving. Because the problem is the people who see me do it, the neighbors, aren't going to know this is a form of retribution. They're simply going to think
you're an irresponsible dog.
There's that loser leaving the dog poop on seemingly this person's yard. And is that also now harassment? Also,
yes.
The dog poops once.
I'm pretty sure it's all harassment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Every version of this is harassment. Yes. Every answer we have received.
Except for just knocking on the door and trying to and wait it out.
But then when does my continual knocking and waiting on their doorstep become an harassment?
Well, for that, I'm going to go to the expert, Chewy. How many times would someone have to knock on your door before you would consider it harassment?
Once.
The second knock.
You get one knock, that's it. The second knock becomes harassment.
Because if they're, you know, there's a knock at the door, the first thing I do is go to a window where they can't see me. And if I see it's a car I don't recognize, I ain't answering the door.
We all do this. Yeah.
Right?
Stakeout.
I thought you had a Ring doorbell. Can't you just do it from your phone?
Yeah, it's not working.
That's got to charge
it. Fix. Oh, those are chargeable?
If they're not wired, they probably have batteries.
Never thought of that. That's why it's not working? The doorbell, too?
I don't know about yours. I think we have the same brand because I think I got my suggestion from you.
Yeah.
I get a notification on my phone that says, doorbell needs to be charged.
Yeah. If it's not wired in.
Yeah, but do you have to look at the app?
So that's the thing. I get a notification. What do they call it? A push notification?
Yeah, from the app.
I get a push notification.
Well, Gabe knows my
app.
Phone's not working because it won't open the door here.
I mean, it opened it for me.
Okay. What should Joshy do? 800-990-3776. A package was delivered more than a week ago to a neighbor by accident. UPS has refunded them the money. They are square as far as that goes. But now we still try to figure out why the neighbor hasn't returned the package or responded to a number of notes by UPS and by Joshy himself. 800-990-3776. What should Joshy do with the neighbor who won't return his package. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and a lot of stuff to get to today. Ben Brust is going to join the show in the second hour. We've got power rankings. Stick around. All that and more coming up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Find out what all the screaming is about with a BOGO offer on Screamin' Sicilian going on right now at Pick and Save in Metro Market. All Screamin' Sicilian pizzas are buy one, get one through July 1st. All right, so you got a little bit of time here yet, but look, it's the summertime. You want to make sure that, you know, sometimes you're out, you're about. You still want to have something good for dinner. You don't have time to cook. You want to have something good in the freezer. That's where Screamin' Sicilian comes in. From the original crust to the thin and crispy to tavern style to me and Josh's favorite, the Detroit-style pizza. You need to take advantage of this. All Screamin' Sicilians, buy one, get one right now. Pick and save in Metro Market through July 1st. Time to stock up your freezers with all your favorite Screamin' Sicilian favorites.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So much reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line as to what Joshy should do about UPS delivering his package to the wrong door, him being aware of it, letting the neighbor know it was a missed delivery. The neighbor took the box inside. The neighbor has not responded to calls. The neighbor has not responded to the notes that UPS has left. What should Joshy do? Now, it has been made square by UPS. They did refund the cost of the item. But from a principal standpoint, Joshy is asking our loyal listeners what he should do. And so we take that question to our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. Do you have any suggestions for our friend, Josh DiMaggio?
Yeah, tough luck. Paula loves her new sandals.
Okay.
Didn't realize you guys are renting out a house over in Brewers Hill.
Well, we're always looking for rental properties where we can steal other people's shipments. So it's worked out pretty well for us. How many more times are you willing to reach out? Are you sure that they're home?
Yes.
Like, are you sure they didn't get the delivery and then, like, left for a week in the Bahamas?
So there was three attempts made in three consecutive days by UPS, which were unanswered. But they do leave the sticky notes on the door of, hey, we've got something going on here. If you could respond, that would be great. And all those make it inside, and no response has been given. There's been four total notes between us and UPS left. We were only once. I haven't gone back there after the first one, where we left our address and phone number to be contacted and to come pick it up.
Hmm. Yeah, and you're not willing to have this elevated. I heard some of the responses. You're not elevated to the point where you would like to get the Milwaukee Police Department involved.
No, I'm anti that. Cause
what would the package have to have been to be enough for you to say, okay, I'm calling the cops?
That's a good question, because I don't know if something's delivered on your porch and you bring it inside. How liable are you for, like, that total amount? Like, where does UPS elevate that versus me elevating that? I don't know.
Right. We should call David Gruber and ask him. I think you've handled this as best you can. I respect your restraint. But this one, I have to be honest, I am a principal of the thing guy. I would be probably ringing the doorbell every day until I got my package. I don't think I would have the restraint that you've shown. So kudos to you, buddy.
Jason, chances of a Rasul Douglas return?
I don't know. Apparently, we've got a GoFundMe going where everybody donates $2.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter anymore, but I did see him responding to some folks, and I don't know how much they've raised at this point. I think there's probably more worthwhile charitable causes, but nevertheless, there has been apparently an effort among fans. My understanding And the reason why he's still available, I know he went and visited the Seahawks, but my understanding is he's not as fast as he once was, and he wasn't. Speed was not his game previously. Now, again, I personally believe that veteran players who have the savvy and wherewithal to make up for maybe their shortcomings as they get older are still extremely valuable. So I'm on board. But again, if I was in charge, Jordy Nelson would still be starting a wide receiver. So take that for what it's worth.
Jason, last week when you joined the Homer Hour, you were talking about the idea of just about everybody being replaceable. And, you know, kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, they were willing to walk away from Davante Adams, despite him being an all-pro wide receiver and him still being productive in the years following in his time out in Las Vegas. Is that something they've done on purpose? Or is that just they've drafted some good players, some starting caliber players, they haven't drafted that truly irreplaceable guy?
Yeah, I think it's both, right, Gabe? I mean, first of all, I do think philosophically, and look, I know, you know, you guys are talking about what it's going to take for them to win a Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. I think philosophically, I think Goody and LaFleur, they like young players. They like, you know, first of all, guys that are, especially in the case of young players, who do have drawbacks, right? Like, they can come in, you know, especially in this era of NIL and the transfer portal and everybody telling them how great they are, they can come in entitled or believing that they're owed something. But I think that they like, you know, young guys that haven't proven anything, so they can't be super diva-ish, for one. I think, two, you know, if you go back and read Rob Domofsky's story about Goody's 3 to 5 year plan, I think it's pretty evident that Goody really does believe that in this concept, which, you know, I remember him saying a couple of years ago when I was trying to get him to kind of explain the philosophy of having such young teams and playing young guys, was that, you know, you play them early and you live with the growing pains because they come out on the other side as much better players. And that was undeniably true in 2023, right, with the second half of the season. But I really do think that their philosophy is, all right, we're gonna draft and replace. We're not gonna pay anybody unless they are really, really, truly special and deserving. And we believe that we're gonna get more bites of the apple this way. We believe that we have as good of, if not the best, scouting department in the league. So we think we're gonna make the right pick in virtually every draft. And we believe that if we keep chopping at it that way, we are going to end up with a team that is going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know if I agree, but I think that's the philosophy. So yeah, I think you have to be in the current age of the Green Bay Packers, you have to be exceedingly special to be able to get even a second contract, much less a third. And, you know, the Zach Tom thing, you know, I know Goody said with Cheesehead TV that they want to get an extension done. That's great. Great to hear. You should let your offensive line coach and your offensive coordinator know that those are in your plans. Because they're working off the previous idea that no one is irreplaceable and that he could even lose his starting job this season. So I don't know if that was them misspeaking earlier this offseason or what, or that was negotiating ploy. But the bottom line is that I'm not sure anyone to this point has shown themselves to be irreplaceable. And if Zach Tom gets a new deal, great. That's one guy that's proven that he's earned it.
Jason, what's your best guess about what that new deal would look like, money-wise?
Well, I numbers-wise, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be south of, obviously, Penei Sewell. But I would say this. It'll be structured the way they seem to be structuring all these contracts, which, again, you know, look, Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst don't need my blessing to structure contracts the way they have. But I can't remember if I talked about this with you or on one of our other shows, but the Jair Alexander extension and the Elgton Jenkins extension had one thing in common. Neither one of them had a roster bonus due in March of this year. And in both instances, that would have triggered decisions that would have prevented the protracted Jair Alexander saga and would have required the Packers to figure something out with Elgton Jenkins. You put roster bonuses that are due the third day of the league year into these contracts because it forces you to decide. And if it's a guy that you think is a really good football player and you don't have any qualms about him at all, you simply pay it and you convert it to a signing bonus so you can spread out the cap charge. If you are on the fence with that player, option two, then you negotiate maybe a different number or you do a restructure that he still gets some guaranteed money, but you don't necessarily commit that big, like, let's say, $8 million roster bonus. Or C, you decide this guy's not good enough and we're going to move on from him. And in neither one of those cases was one of those placed in the contract. So I guess the only thing I can say about a potential Zach Tom extension is I doubt that they'll put one of those in there because I think what they really like, I mean, even if you look at Josh Jacobs' contract, and we all think the world of Josh Jacobs, right? I mean, he was fantastic last year. His contract is essentially a two-year deal with team options to decide whether or not they want to keep him because they're structured in a way that they're going to have to change his base salaries because they're balloon payments, and they're going to have to, you know, take that and make it a signing bonus or a roster bonus or a signing bonus and spread it out. Because I think, again, part of the philosophy here, if you look at all these contracts, is everybody's on a two-year deal. I think Aaron Banks is another example. But everybody's basically on a two-year deal, and then we'll decide whether or not we want to get to year three with you.
Jason, we were talking about Christian Watson yesterday, and I think he's shown enough to keep him around, and I don't think he's going to be uber expensive. Would Rashad Bateman be a good comp? Because he just signed a deal, Gabe, what, 12 mm-hmm. average?
Yeah, just a little 12 over 12.
Average?
Yeah, look, I'm a Christian Watson stan. I like everything about him. I know we've talked about this before. Like, I really like the way he carries himself. It does stand in contrast to some of the stuff his dad does on social media. My concern with him, and again, I'm not an expert. I have not talked to him extensively, but I do worry that he's going to push it because it looks like he's pushing the envelope on this, mm-hmm. right, in a huge way. And I saw the video that he posted the other day. I mean, he's starting to gently cut when he's running now, right? Not super hard cuts, but he's definitely cutting, which when we saw him at the offseason program, he was only running straight line. You know, I was using TJ Hockenson's timeline, who tore his ACL around the same time for the Vikings and came back last November. Christian Watson, I'm not a doctor, but it looks like he is on an accelerated timeline. My concern is, given his history and the fine-tuning that his body requires to be running like a Lamborghini, I hope they still take, as Mike McCarthy would say, the high side of caution. With how they approach him, because I agree. I think he's done enough that if you can keep him on a reduced extension because of the injury, kind of like Tausch was put in position to have to do back in 2002, 2003, I think that would obviously benefit both sides. I don't know how long-term that would be. Would it be 3 years? Would it be 2 years? Would he want to sign a one-year deal? I don't know, but I will say this. I think he's the type of guy, if you're going to be a constantly young team, that the way he carries himself, the way he leads, I still can't get over how he was really the only one to stand up publicly for Romeo Doubs and support him. He's the kind of guy that I want on my football team.
Do you think the Packers would almost prefer that he's not available at the start of the season, given how crowded the wide receiver room is And as the season goes along, like roster spots just tend to open because of injuries. And now you don't have to make difficult decisions of, okay, do I want to keep this guy at even a different position group because they contribute on special teams? And the roster spot will just open itself based on the guys they've drafted and brought in free agency.
Gabe, are you suggesting that the team is rooting for his recovery to fit their timeline instead of his timeline?
I mean, that's how teams work, right?
I can't believe you would say such a thing.
Jason, you understand it from the player's standpoint, though, going into a contract year where he's a free agent, and you're like, I got to get out there. I got to get catches, yards, and touchdowns because I want to get paid.
Which is why a contract, to your suggestion, would help alleviate some of that pressure of, okay, I've got some money coming.
Yeah.
I don't have to take any unnecessary risks.
Correct.
Yeah, totally agree. I think you guys would love Green Bay Packers organization run by Jason Wilde. I think you would really enjoy going 6-11 every year. But we would take care of Christian Watson because I believe him to be a valuable piece, even though he's coming off an ACL. Look, Would you have money left over, Jason,
if you're still... I mean, Jordy, at this point, would be still pretty expensive. I don't know if you'd be able to afford to give the extension if you're keeping Jordy around.
Well, he was almost going to take that $2 million in 2018. I'm thinking he'd be coming back just because he likes me every year on the veteran minimum.
Fair enough.
And that would work out great. No, in all seriousness, I do think, you know, in their heart of hearts, they're probably rooting for Christian Watson. I could tell you he is extremely well-liked by the head coach and by the people in that building. I think if they're looking for the most convenient path for them success-wise and being able to keep him, it's he starts on PUP, he misses the first six games, it takes him a little while to get going, and then he plays really well for them down the stretch, but not super, super, super well, like that three-game stretch he had in 23, or 22 maybe it was. But they are where we were talking about him in the same sentence as Randy Moss. But, yeah, they want to be I think they would like him to allow them to get him at a discount. And if that's the case, then him being ready, you know, in week four, while it would be a good thing for the team, it would not be a good thing necessarily for negotiations and keeping him at a reduced price.
And Jason, we got a little bit of pushback yesterday in the talking text line about these bozos think Christian Watson is going to be ready for week one, LOL, LOL. And it was like, no. We understand that that would be an accelerated recovery, but it looks like Christian Watson is interested in an accelerated recovery for all the reasons that Chewy has detailed already here today. And so that our question was, would it be better for everybody involved if he was not ready week one? That was the crux of that discussion. And that's why I also asked the guys, should the Packers extend Christian Watson right now as opposed to waiting? We really appreciate your insight. Great stuff. Have a great one. And we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, let's be honest. When I'm on, there's two bozos on the show, not you and Gabe. It's me and the big fella.
That's why we bond, buddy.
If the commenter wants to go plural on bozos, he needs to save it for Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We are late, 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 White Rabbit, Alice in Wonderland. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
10 years ago, the Badger basketball team made a run in March that was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe. Coming up this Thursday, June 26th, join the stars from that squad as they remember and celebrate the 2015 run to Indy. Get your tickets and be part of this intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison with Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, and of course, the Hall of Famer himself, Bo Ryan. UWHoops2015.com. That's UWHoops2015.com to get your tickets. Untold stories, memories from that season, and special guests are sure to make this night one you won't want to miss. It's Made 'em Believe, a celebration of the 2015 Badgers basketball team. June 26th at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets on sale at UWHoops2015.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
Gonna have to clip that.
Yeah,
for me?
That's
grab that.
I mean,
just hold on to it.
Yeah. I know. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just I think it's something in my brain's telling me
something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I generally feel very strongly about names. I've always thought that these players who come to us years later and tell us we've been mispronouncing their names, I'm always like, why did you wait so long? Monte. That was one where I was like, wait, what? He's what now? Monty Ball. No, Monte Ball. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Gadzirich was another one back in the day. We all called him Dan Gadzirich, and then he was like, actually, it's Gadzirich. And you were like, oh, sorry, I didn't know. But now that I know, when you know better, do better, right?
That one makes a little more sense, being a foreign-born player, usually a language barrier, doesn't have the, you know, rookie in the league, doesn't have the confidence to go, hey, this is how you say it until, you know, they become a little bit more established. God, that was what terrible contract they gave him back in the day, too.
Who thought we'd be talking about Dan Gadzirich this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? But there is a Mets pitcher whose name is Richard Lovelady. But he has informed the masses, he has informed the media that he would like to be referred to as his nickname, which is Dickie. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Dickie Lovelady. And Chew, I figured you would.
Dickie is great.
This would be right up your
alley. I know
alley.
A couple Dickies.
Do you? I don't know a single Dickie.
They're Dickies. You look at them and like, no, you're a Dickie.
Wait, oh,
you're
so
not
you're
Dick.
Calling
you're not
him.
Richard. You're Dickie.
What physical features?
Little pep in the step.
Okay.
Little hyper. holds court.
Okay.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Okay, borderline. I mean, I'm annoying.
I'm not going to play this guy's game.
What
refuse
do you mean?
Refuse to. If it was a pronunciation, sure, I'll give it to you. But your cute little nickname, so you want to play your little game about your double, your entendre name? Nope, not going to happen. You're Richard. I don't have to call you.
Like, you're a better Joshy than you are Josh. Agree?
Not sure there's a difference.
No,
that's,
there is.
That's just adding a Y
wait,
to
I
the end
know
of the name.
The difference. What's the difference?
He's a smartass.
Okay.
Yes. And Joshy fits that more than Josh.
Wait, so if you're a smartass, you don't go by Richard or Dick.
Yes.
Then
you
it should
by
be Dickie.
Dickie. Yes. Josh is just a nice, quiet kid. You know, he's naughty.
What about Jen and Jenny?
Jen and Jenny is bubbly, probably a cheerleader. Right?
Well, it
makes
sense
more
in a previous, it's a previous life for Jen.
Because I know another Jenny who was a cheerleader. And you guys have very similar. She's a little nicer than you, but very similar. Jen is just quiet, cerebral, engaging. Jenny's a little hyper. Fair?
So should I go by Jenny or is Jen okay?
No. Well, no, you're not a Jenny, though. That's the weird
but
thing.
But I was for a
you
very
were?
Long time, yeah, as a kid.
Does it bother you?
Not at all. But my siblings call me Jenny.
What about when you got in trouble? Jennifer?
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, Jennifer. Mine was middle name.
Nicole.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You get the full name. That's how you know you're
See,
in
I
trouble.
Had you as a Marie.
Yeah, you told me that before.
Yeah.
Because of the Italian.
Well, yeah. Everyone's Marie and... You know?
Well, I mean, 75%, it feels like, of women middle names is either Anne or Marie.
Were you Gabriel?
Yeah.
Well, when you were in trouble?
When I was in trouble, yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, I was always Gabe.
Yeah.
Wait, Josh, are you actually a Joshua?
Yeah, sure am.
So where does that fit into your little thought process?
Me, he's not a Joshua.
Well, he literally just told us he is.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that, I wouldn't call him that. He doesn't have a
legally.
Scepter and a mitre and...
Legally, you know. That's what
the
I
The only
am.
Joshua he knows is from the Ten Commandments. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think I know where we're going.
He is a Joshy. Yeah.
Would you call this gentleman by the name he prefers, which yes. is Dickie Lovelady?
If it fits.
That's an unfortunate last name, though, right? I mean, Lovelady.
He's just leaning in.
He is leaning in a little bit. We've heard worse.
Have we? I mean, again, it to me, this has a little bit of like a mischievous tone to it. It's not just like in your face blatantly.
I mean, but if your last name is Lovelady and you name your kid Richard, you're kind of hoping he does something like this somewhere down the line.
You're playing a game here.
Yeah. You've decided that, hey, I'm being cute by naming my kid Richard, just like the lieutenant who once arrested Brett Favre.
What
last name of Cox?
It's a family name. Yeah, that is.
That's.
And then, what if it's family name? You always wanted, you're a Richard. You always wanted your son to be Richard as well, so you name him Richard, and you know you're Richard Lovelady.
Well, then your parents were playing a game. At some point, somebody was playing a game. All right.
There's a game afoot.
But just because you pass it on generation to generation doesn't mean the game's not being played.
If you had a last name like that, I'd do the same if I was the parents. Huh? You lean into it.
What? Really?
Yeah. No?
I don't like it. I don't like playing games with other people's legacies.
No. Well, it's technically your legacy. It's your kid.
Yeah. But they got to wear it, right? And that's the thing. Whenever somebody doesn't like someone's name, I'm always like, don't blame them. They had nothing to do with it. Yeah, they were there. But it's the mom and dad who decided to, you know, F around and find out.
It's interesting to me to play the game with names. With what we know now and how names, like, literally affect you, your future earnings, and, like, the places you can reach in society, like, a name can make a huge difference, and I don't think we give that enough attention. Now, certainly there are cases where you can overcome those situations. But there's
just like our friend Dickie here.
There's long-term studies that tell us names are very important, and people will not take you as seriously as maybe you deserve to be simply based on your name.
Well, here's Chris is weighing in the YouTube stream, and he says it's still not as bad as the longtime college quarterback General Booty. But I will tell you this, in the day and age of name, image, and likeness, you know what t-shirt my kid wears?
What?
A General Booty t-shirt.
Can you wear that at school?
I don't know if he can wear it at school. but the point is, of all of the kids trying to make money off of their name, image, and likeness, guess who had a leg up? Or a cheek up, I suppose.
Yeah.
That kid.
Alabama's had some great ones.
For example.
Haha.
Yeah.
Is that his real name?
Ha-ha. It is not. No. That was a nickname that his grandmother gave him.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his real name. But there was another DB or something that had a great.
Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Kool-Aid. Is that his name?
I don't believe he was named Kool-Aid.
No.
You gotta have the balls to do it, man.
What, you name mean him that. Legally change your name?
Yeah.
Just designate a nickname. Why would you go to the lengths of giving them that name?
Because it has more zip, like T-Bone. Call him T-Bone. My name sucks.
T-Bone,
my name
lady?
Is horrible. What's your name?
You're literally Chew.
Yeah, I know.
No one, like, again, to the point where, again, you're not going to introduce yourself as Chew or Chewy.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mark. Who the bleep is Mark?
Yeah, that feels weird. You know what's weird? When someone says they like the show, I always laugh. I don't know why. That's my first reaction. Guy came up at the gym. Hey, he loved Jane Game and Chewy. I'm like, sorry. You shouldn't like this show. It's naughty.